Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. God is good. And all the time. Amen. If you have a Bible this morning or an iPhone or a tablet or whatever, we're gonna be in Psalm 97 this morning, but I wanted to begin over in Ephesians chapter 5 and just read a verse of Scripture and then jump on over a couple of pages to 2 Thessalonians. Because that's going to kind of set the table for where we're going this morning. When you find Ephesians 5 and verse 20, would you stand in the honor of God's Word? Ephesians 5 and verse 20. This is the Word of the Lord for the Lord's people on the Lord's day. Are you ready for this? No, we're not. I don't know that I'm still ready for this, but listen to what the Word of God says. Giving thanks, how often?
Always.
For what?
Everything.
Giving thanks always for all things. Wow. To God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn on over to the right, a few pages in your Bible, to 2 Thessalonians. Excuse me, 1 Thessalonians. And chapter 5 and verse 16. Same message, really. Rejoice, how often?
Always.
Pray without ceasing. Now listen to this. In everything. In what?
Everything.
Give thanks. Now listen to this. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. For Brother Cal. For all of us. Oh God, seal this truth to our hearts today. And help us to sell out to it. In this season of thanksgiving, help us to always be thankful for all things, an attitude of gratitude. Thank you for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I just want to share with you before we get going, I don't always feel grateful for everything. As a matter of fact, sometimes I go through circumstances and seasons in my life, and instead of being thankful for them, I get upset, and I get negative, and I get angry even sometimes. Anybody else identify with what I'm saying? And so giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a tall order, isn't it? Always, always. In all things, in all things. Now, you need to know who wrote those words in Ephesians 5. It was the Apostle Paul. And when he wrote those words, they were inspired by the Lord. He was empowered and inspired by the Lord to write those words. And do you know what Paul's doing when he wrote this? He's awaiting a death sentence in prison. And he says, give thanks always. For all things. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How do you maintain an attitude of gratitude like that? Well, Psalm 97 answers that question for us. And that's where we're going to spend the remainder of the morning together. We can all, now here's kind of, I'm just going to kind of lay it out on the table for you up front. You can always be thankful and be thankful for all things when you're focused on who God is and what He does. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, I think especially during Thanksgiving season, and there's nothing wrong with this at all, but being thankful for things can be kind of not quite dangerous, but approaching that. It's not a bad thing to be thankful for things. Are you glad you have things?
Yes.
Right? But what happens if you lose those things? It's great to be thankful for family, right? But how do you stay thankful when your home's a war zone? It's great to be thankful for your health, but what happens when your health dissipates? It's wonderful to be thankful for stuff, but what happens when you don't have the stuff anymore? Am I making sense now? And so in this season of Thanksgiving, I think it's imperative that we learn how to be thankful for the giver, not just the gifts. Oh, that's a good word right there. We need to learn how to be thankful for the giver, not just the gifts that the giver gives to us. And in Psalm 97, there's four quick things about God and who He is that we can always be thankful for. Are you ready for this? Look at your neighbor and say,
I'm ready.
Now look at your other neighbor and say, I can't wait. And I'm telling the truth. Alright. First of all, we can be thankful because God rules. God rules over the earth, over the universe. That truth is found there in Psalm 197. Look at verse 9. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. And then jump up back to verse 1. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. What the psalmist is saying is God is in control. He rules over everything. He is sovereign. He is the God of the universe. And He rules over the earth and He rules over us. And we can rejoice in that because God is in control. Tell somebody He's in control. Benjamin Franklin once said, and he said, the longer I live, the more I believe God governs the affairs of men. How many of you know nothing happens without God causing it or allowing it to happen? God is sovereign. He is ruler over all things. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. You know, there's five words that God never has to say. Are you ready for them? I did not know that. God knows everything before it even happens. And these circumstances and situations in life that we don't understand, sometimes God causes those things to happen. And then, if He didn't cause it to happen, He certainly allowed it to happen, right? He's in control. He's sovereign. He's over the universe. So Proverbs 5:21 says, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He ponders all his paths. While God doesn't will every circumstance in our life, God does have a will in every circumstance.
All right.
Say it again.
All right. While God doesn't will every circumstance that comes down our path, He does have a will in every circumstance. And we just read what His will, that we'd be thankful. You see, you could be thankful this morning because God is in control. And you know, and God, how many of y'all, did any of y'all ever do jigsaw puzzles over the holidays? And you get out those old puzzles, you know, and some of those pieces are worn out and frayed and coming apart, but you can still get the pieces of the puzzle together even though it doesn't look quite as good as it used to be. Let me tell you something. God is in the business of not only putting the pieces of the puzzle of our lives back together again, but He can keep them together. He is the sovereign God of the universe. Something bad's going to happen. Something tough's going to come my way from time to time. And God's going to ask me, are you going to trust me? Are you going to be thankful that I'm in control? I've been at the Tennessee Baptist Convention this week down in Jackson, Tennessee. And I left here Sunday afternoon because I had some meetings I had to be a part of early on Monday morning. And we had a great convention, y'all. Oh, it was fantastic. Sunday night we had a great worship experience in the Union University Praise Orchestra. Have y'all ever heard of Praise Orchestra? Not a praise band, a praise orchestra. Those kids were unbelievable, and they had a choir, and they led us in worship, and then we heard a fantastic message, and then Monday was the pastor's conference, and I got to hear my old preaching professor, Dr. Robert Smith, shuck the corn one more time. It was fantastic. I got to hear Dr. Steve Gaines and Dr. Ken Witten and Dr. Johnny Hunt. Man, I went back to the hotel room on Monday night. I didn't even get back there until 10:30. And I got an email from Hertz Rent-A-Car. And it says, your Hertz Rent-A-Car is ready to be picked up. This was on Monday evening at 10:30. I'm like, I didn't order a rental. I didn't get a rental car. What's this about? Well, it was too late to call Diana, and because we go to bed before 10:30 most of the time. And so I just talked to her the next day, and she said, I've got some bad news. I said, what's this Hertz rental car? She said, I had to rent a car. And I went, uh-oh. And she had had an accident and totaled her car. And I said, oh, are you okay? And she said, I'm a little sore, but I'm all right. And the car that hit her T-boned the passenger side door, and the airbags came out. Anyways, the car's totaled, and so we're out looking for another car. And this car was kind of, other than Isaac, I think that was her pride. She loved that car, you know. And so I got to talking to the Lord. You know how we do. And I said, Lord, what's up with this? Why have we got to go out at Christmas time and go shopping for a car? And just got to asking Him some questions. You know, God already knows your heart. You might as well be honest with Him.
That's right.
You know? And you know what? Thoughts like this started coming into my mind. Your son could have been sitting in that passenger seat. Your wife could have been really hurt. And on and on and on. And so finally I said, I get it, Lord. And then I started preparing this message. And so we can be thankful in all things, because God is in control. He rules over the earth, and He's reigning and ruling. He is sovereign over every circumstance and situation in your life. Look at somebody and say, my, I'm thankful. All right, here's the second thing. God is real. We can be thankful not only that God rules, but we can be thankful that God is real, even though it may not seem that way sometimes. Look at verse 7. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship Him, all you gods. Now, you can't touch God. You can. I had a person tell me one time that they saw Jesus. And I said, really? Where'd you see Him? He was standing out in the highway in pouring rain and told me this ridiculous story. And I said, well, Jesus isn't standing out in some highway in the rain. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. So that's where you must have been if you saw Him.
Yes.
You can't see God. You can't grab God. You can't touch God. But He's real. I think that's one reason why you see so many idols today, because you can lay hands on an idol. A false god, that kind of thing. But there are times You know, when God seems very distant, you know, I spend time with the Lord and in my study, oftentimes in the mornings and the afternoons and sometimes in the evenings. And there's sometimes, you know, God's just, I'm praying and I'm talking, I'm reading the Word, and it's like, He's not there. Anybody get what I'm talking about? And yet, just because I can't feel Him doesn't mean He's not there. And there are other times when I'm in the Word, when I'm in the car traveling and I'm praying and I'm talking to God and I'm in my study or whatever and I'm reading, and it's like, man, the Spirit of God is thicker than peanut butter. And I'm sitting in His lap and I'm teared up and I'm just, I just know that I'm in the presence of the Lord. I'll tell you, whether you sense Him or not, He is always with us. He is real. Even though it may not seem that way at times. Sometimes, you know, you feel like Simon Peter up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus was transfigured before their very eyes. And Simon Peter said, man, it's good for us to be here today. Let's build some tabernacles and stay a while. You know, sometimes it's like that, isn't it? And isn't it wonderful? But then there are other times when you wonder, where are you, Lord? But He's real. He's always there. He's always with us. Did you catch that up there in verse 2? He says, clouds and darkness surround Him. There is a sense in which you can't have complete knowledge of the Lord. He's not only surrounded in majesty, but He's surrounded in mystery. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He's infinite and we're finite. You can't completely know God and understand God, but we've got enough of God that, bless God, we can surrender to Him and serve Him. He is real. I want you this week, not right now, but just start making a list of how many times God has made Himself real to you in your life. That God's manifest presence and the reality of His presence has been given to you. And just thank God for being real. Don't you wish everybody knew Him? Don't you wish everybody had what you have? And if you don't have it, let me tell you, friend, you're going to have a chance to get it today. God is real. There used to be, my God is real, real in my soul. Remember that old song? Three of you do. All right. Just thank God. Whatever you got to do, just start making a list this week. God is real. And so we can be thankful that He's with us and He's real. And then we can be thankful that God rules over the earth. And then we can be thankful that God is righteous in all that He does. Look at verse 2b. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Wow. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Did you know God never had to apologize for making a mistake? He's never made a misstep. He's never made a mistake. God is perfect in every way. He's holy. He is righteous. He is just. Listen to what Deuteronomy 32:4 says. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is He. Man, I am so thankful that God always does the right thing. God is filled with justice and righteousness. And He's always, you know what that says to me? He's always going to do me right. He's going to treat me right. He's going to do right by you. How many of y'all have ever read Corrie Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place? Really? About 9 or 10 of you? Man, how many of y'all read? I know how we are, fellas. Anyways, if you've never read The Hiding Place, you need to read it. It's a story about Corey Ten Boom and her time in that horrible Nazi regime. But she and her sister, well, her whole family were hiding Jews and providing for Jews over in Holland. And then when the Nazis swept through her country, they took prisoners of war. And so Corey and her sister Betsy wound up having to go, were taken to a concentration camp in Ravensbrück, Germany. And in her book, Corey tells us the awful conditions that were in this concentration camp of the Nazis. They were starved half to death. Many people while she was there died from starvation. They were treated terribly. They didn't have enough clothing. They were freezing in the wintertime. And in the summertime, it was sweltering in the barracks. And there were so many people in their barracks that they had to, a lot of them had to sleep on the floor. It was overcrowded. And one of the worst things, Corey said, about our barracks was it was infested with fleas. And they were such a nuisance. Corey said they would bite you and they were just swarming around you 24/7. And she said, I hated those fleas. But once a day, Corey and her sister, Betsy, and Betsy wound up dying at this concentration camp just a few days before they were liberated. But they would get the women together in the barracks for a Bible study. And those scriptures that we read in 1 Thessalonians about pray without ceasing, rejoice always, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Betsy was reading those verses that day. And Corey spoke up and said, how in the world can I be thankful for these fleas? I hate these fleas. I can't stand them. I don't like them. I'm not thankful for these fleas. And her sweet sister Betsy interrupted and she said, sister, it's God's will that we be thankful for the fleas. And just a few days after Corey got out of Ravensbrück, her sister had passed away. She found out that their barracks was the only barracks that was able to have a Bible study. Do you know why they were able to have Bible study every day? Because the guards wouldn't come in there because the fleas were so bad. Let me tell you, God knows how to make a way. And He always does what's right. He's righteous. Now, He gives us a free will. And He could stop things from happening. But sometimes God allows things to happen for our good and His glory. And I don't know what's going on in your life, but friend, you can be thankful for simply who God is. He's ruler. He's righteous. And there's one final thing. He's responsive to our needs. And by the way, I thought back in my life, just as an addendum to what we just said about God being righteous, I've looked back on my life and those things in my life that I thought were a curse wound up being a blessing. God is a Romans 8:28 God. He can turn a tragedy into something good for you in His glory. God is good. Here's the last one I wanted to share with you. God is responsive to our needs. Look at verse 10. You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of His saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. He preserves the souls of His saints. That word preserve there means to build a wall or a fence. God puts up a wall and a fence around the borders. I'm not doing politics here, okay? builds a wall or a fence around our hearts, around our life. And He guards us and protects us. And nothing gets over that wall around your soul. Nothing gets through that wall, under the rock, around the wall, unless He allows it to happen. But when it does happen, did you catch that? He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. God doesn't isolate us. I've told you all this before. God doesn't isolate us from trouble, but He will insulate you in trouble. Oh, that's good. He will insulate you in times of trouble. He's got a wall of protection and or a fence around your soul and your heart and your life, and He will guard you. He will preserve your soul. That's security, is it not? But He also guides us. Look at verse 11. God is responsive to our needs. That's what we're talking about. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. If we will surrender to His will in our lives this morning, He will tell us where to go and what to do because of who He is and what He's done. And can't you see, can't you look back on your life now, no matter how old you are, and see the steps that God has ordered for your life? I was talking to Dr. James Merritt, one of my heroes in the ministry. And when Dr. Merritt was 50, he left First Baptist Snellville to start a brand new church up in North Atlanta, actually in Alpharetta. And he had about 5,000-6,000 folks coming to church every Sunday at First Baptist Snellville. Most people would think some preacher was crazy to leave a situation like that. But he left to go start a new church to reach the next generation of Atlanta. And when I shared with him what I was wanting to do at 60, he said, "Well, Cal, let me tell you, it'll be the toughest thing you've ever tried to do. But," he said, "God's going to be with you. And He's going to guard you, and He's going to guide you." And he said, "It'll wind up being everything that God's done in your life has prepared you for this point." And he said, "God is going to be with you. And He is going to not only order your steps, He's going to help you do what He wants you to do." God is responsive to the needs of His people. And whatever God asks you to do, He's going to provide for you. Wherever God guides, God provides. Say that with me. Wherever God guides, God provides. And I want to tell you, maybe things are a mess right now in your life. I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe things are a mess. And you don't get it. You don't understand it. Well, can I tell you, God's so big, your mess will be His masterpiece. Ooh! Are y'all taking notes? Write that one down. Your mess will be His masterpiece. It's not over until He says it's over. God's with us. And I want to tell you, I'm so grateful today for who He is and what He does. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15 says, "Thanks be unto God for His indescribable gift." Do you know the gift that Paul's talking about there? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is indescribable. Isn't He? My vocabulary breaks down when I start trying to tell somebody about Jesus and who He is and what He means to me. This Thanksgiving season, sit down with your family. And you remember the old song we used to sing, "Lydia, count your blessings"? and just start going around the table and start counting your blessings as to who God is and to what He does. Let's pray. Father, I sure hope I hadn't made a mess of this thing today. But the truth that resounds in my heart and in my head right now is that even when I make a mess, or I'm in a mess, that mess will be your masterpiece, because you'll get the glory for what takes place. And I don't know, Lord, who's here this morning that needs your grace. But God, if I got what I deserve, I'd be getting justice. I'd be paying for my sin for all of eternity. But God, out of your love, you extended grace into my life and gave me what I did not deserve, a relationship with you that comes through your Son, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, for these dear folks that are here. I don't know where everybody, whether everyone here is born again or saved or not, but you do. And for those of us that are, God, make us more grateful. Give us an attitude of gratitude. And to express that thankfulness and that gratitude for you by the way we serve others. And for those that don't know you, I pray today that they would respond in faith to the call of the gospel. Someone's here and they're lost or confused about their salvation, that today they would simply believe the Word of God and ask for forgiveness, turn from their sin, and be willing to surrender their heart and life to you today by simply calling on your name. Would you do that today, Lord? In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.